step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Yeah, welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care and the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Hope everybody is doing well. Joe Rex Road, live from somewhere near Orlando, Florida. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm in Orlando, right?
I guess so.
I mean, I think that there's like a Chili's nearby and an Applebee's potentially also, maybe even a Cracker Barrel.
Wow. That's good news for you. A lot of options down there.
Oh, you better believe it. Got a big day today. Nico talks today. So big day down here.
Ooh, boy. Nick Keyser, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Can't complain. And, glad I had my coffee last night for sure, but good little nap before coming in and hanging out with you guys this morning.
Yep, late night at the Preds game last night. They lose 5-2 to Carolina. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. Preds assistant coach Derek McKenzie will join us at 7:15 today on the program. Our weekly visit with Charles Robinson with Yahoo Sports from 8 to 8:30. We'll get into all things NFL with him, including just a wild story out of Denver, Joe, involving Russell Wilson. Now, we'll get into that ourselves a little bit later in the show as well. But as you said, Joe, Nico Iamaliava, the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Volunteers as they take on Iowa in the Citrus Bowl. Joe Milton announcing yesterday that he is opting out of the bowl game and focusing on the NFL draft. So we had talked about that decision and kind of what was taking so long for that decision to come out. And Milton deciding to opt out and to join his teammates down in Florida, but not going to be playing in the game. And it will be the Nico show for the Vols starting against Iowa. Kind of an interesting way for his career to start as a starting quarterback going up against that team and that defense in this situation. But I know from what I saw yesterday on Vol Twitter, Joe, Tennessee fans very excited for Nico Iamaliava starting against Iowa.
Yeah, I think that's just made this game a lot more interesting, frankly. It's interesting how it all came about, too. I mean, it's pretty clear, based on what Josh Heupel said yesterday, that, you know, I mean, Milton was, this wasn't like, you know, they just kept this a secret and you know, bowl practice started, it's all been Nico with the ones. Like, Milton was practicing and he was, you know, kind of uncertain. And finally decided to, you know, Nico, why don't you go play that defense? Go ahead, buddy. I'll be fine. I'll be over here. Yeah, I'll be over here for you. I think it's makes the game a lot more interesting, frankly. I mean, I'm more interested in it. I'll tell you that.
Agreed.
You know, it's going to be really, I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see him get a full start, see how he does. I mean, he's going to have his offensive line. He's going to have the same receiving core that frankly was pretty underwhelming this season. He's not going to have Jalen Wright, who was probably Tennessee's most consistent player, certainly an offensive player this year, but he does have still, tremendous talent back there with him. And we'll see some young guys there too. So, and then of course, just this really, really solid, sound, tough defense. So, I think it's a great thing for Tennessee to give him that experience, get that evaluation. The red shirt is preserved if it matters. Obviously, you know, Tennessee would rather it not matter, I guess, right? Like you would sign up for 2 years of Nico being so good that 2 years from now we're talking about his draft, you know, situation. But
get that NIL money in there and keep him in Tennessee for 4 years, man.
Well, there's that. Man, it's true. I mean, that's a 4-year deal from my understanding, you know, but you got the redshirt year in case. I mean, it is possible to have a good quarterback in college who isn't like a lock first round pick. And with NIL money, some guys like that are like, yeah, I think I'll just hang around and keep, you know, keep playing. Dylan Gabriel is just going to play college football forever. I mean, just go to different schools and just, you know, so. But it's going to be, I think, beneficial for him and for the Vols to see him, and I'm excited to check it out. And I think Vols fans should be very appreciative of Joe Milton.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really interesting kind of subplot to the game here. It's the second year in a row that they've basically gotten a head start on looking at what their quarterback of the future is going to be. Now, it's different circumstances. Obviously, Hooker gets hurt last year and Milton starts the Vanderbilt game and then the bowl game down in the Orange Bowl. But it was the Orange Bowl last year and his performance against Clemson where you're like, okay, well, Tennessee might have something at the quarterback position. And look, I think up and down, probably a fair way to describe Joe Milton's season here. They end up 8-4, and now you've got a chance to get a head start on Nico too. And I said it yesterday, you know, everybody was focusing in on like the Milton part of this and playing that Iowa defense and what that can mean for his draft status. It is a really interesting start for Nico's career too, just in terms of that's a heck of a defense to be going up against when you're making your first career start. And I know it's a bowl game and things get wonky in the bowl games and all those things, but you know, we've seen the Iowa defense and what they are. This could be a heck of a challenge for a true freshman quarterback coming in, even though I know he's, you know, he's been there for a whole season at this point. This is a heck of a challenge for a guy making his first start.
Yeah, it really is. And again, it's, I think the big thing with this matchup, and I think it's pretty consistent over the years for, and I've seen, you know, I mean, I've seen this Iowa defense, I mean, go through the Big Ten quarterbacks, great quarterbacks over the years, Russell Wilson and Kirk Cousins and Tom Brady and Drew Brees. I mean, Iowa's defense, same defense, really. I mean, it's been forever. Phil Parker's been there forever with Kirk Ferentz. And, you know, it's one of those things where they rarely blitz. Now, sometimes they would, you know, when they do, it's like they're bringing 19 people because you're so not used to it. But it's just, it really is just physical, sound, stop the run, play zone, and the ball doesn't go over their head. And so, you know, if you can find the holes in the zone and you can take what the defense gives you, then fine, they'll let you do that. You can go between the 20s, you can go down the field, but obviously they're tough in the red zone too. Just any kind of situational defensive statistic, typically they're really good. And this year, I mean, again, said it yesterday, when you have an offense like they have that got the coach's son fired, okay?
Yeah.
And you're still this good, that tells you how good you are on defense. But, I mean, I guess in a way you could look at, like, there's other types of defenses you could play where, like, they blitz all the time that you might worry more about a freshman. You know, it's a lot of this is just like a test of patience and certainly being able to read defenses and things like that. But it's a really interesting situation for him. He'll probably be glad to be done with it when it's over.
Probably so. And it's interesting. Like, we've seen a very limited amount of Nico this year. And when he's been in there, it's been in garbage time. So there's not been a ton of throwing the football. Like, even in the Vanderbilt game, he got in there and then he was quickly out of there and Gaston Moore was in there. So it wasn't like there was a ton going on for Nico so far this year. Like, I mean, there have been a couple of plays where you can see, I guess, the shiftiness, the ability to move around in the pocket has been probably the main thing that stand out to me. Like, he really hasn't had much of a chance to open it up, just throwing the ball all that much. But I think you have been able to see his elusiveness and his ability to move around in the pocket in the limited sample size that we've seen him. So I'm interested to see, you know, arm talent wise and, you know, with a full game plan out in front of him, what kind of throws is he making? What's he struggling with at this point? And what are kind of some things that he needs to work on as they enter into the offseason here? But really excited to see him in a full game, kind of open the playbook up and be able to throw the ball.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I mean it's a lot more like Hendon Hooker with him in terms of, you know, being able to escape the pocket, be elusive, quick feet. You know, whereas Milton could be a good runner, but Milton under pressure, not great at sidestepping rushers and things like that. But yeah, that's the thing on Nico. Like, for a 6'6 guy, he's really shifty, you know. Yeah. I mean, look, and the arm's great. I mean, he's got the tools, you know, to be really good. I mean, you just don't know how it's going to work out until you start seeing him in situations like this. But people have raved about him from the day he got to Tennessee and how he's handled this. And I think even just he and his family sort of coming in and being like, yeah, like Joe's the quarterback, and that, you know, that's like they, it's a smart approach to want to take that year, you know, and just get used to college and all that stuff, and just be ready for your time, as opposed to, you know, I'm the guy, I'm coming in, I want to start. I think it's been a good approach.
Is there any pressure on him? I mean, there's, we talked about the Iowa defense. Like if they go in there and it's just a total slop fest, which it very well could be, by the way, like it's what Iowa kind of lends itself to. I am interested to see the reaction of Vol Twitter. I'm sure it'll be very level headed.
Well, it'll be, yeah, exactly. It'll be complete overreaction either way, right? I mean, it'll be like, it'll be, oh my God, you know, who is this guy, you know, or, oh my God, here comes 12-0. Forget the 12-team playoff. Go back to the BCS and this team's playing for the Natty next year, you know? I mean, I'm sure it'll be one or the other, but yeah, it'll probably be some good and some bad in this game. And yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see some, you know, you're going to see some three and outs. And I don't think you're going to see an avalanche of touchdowns in this game.
You got the Vols down there in Orlando. You got Nick Saban and Jim Harbaugh taking pictures with Mickey Mouse together out there in California. It's a beautiful time in college football.
Oh, that was a real special one. I was disappointed in Saban. He didn't get close enough to like hug up on Mickey. You know, he kind of a little standoffish there. So Harbaugh's all in, man. Harbaugh's all in.
Not much commenting on his NFL future yesterday, too. It was an interesting day for Jim Harbaugh. Basically took the no comment approach.
One track mind, baby. One track
That's
mind.
Right. That's right.
I wonder if Connor Stallions is like lurking in the Goofy costume.
Stallions is out there on Space Mountain with binoculars just looking around. Don't get too close to Jim. Don't get too close.
He's in one of those teacups. It's a small world. Oh, yeah.
We're off and running today on Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. So some interesting news on the quarterback front for Tennessee yesterday, and some interesting news on the quarterback front for the Titans as well. We'll get into that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
How do you monitor Will Levis this week and trying to see if he plays on Sunday? Anything extra that goes into it, Coach, when you talk about his physical play and maybe learning from past experiences of how to maybe slide or do things that aren't...
He dove, he slid, he protected himself the last time we played the Texans. And he dove forward and got us 5 yards, and we had a half a yard. And so I rewarded him by going forward on fourth and a half a yard. So, you know, we're not going to, we're not going to restrict these guys to, you know, playing outside of how they are wired to play. And it's an instinctive game. You know, there's sometimes the pocket breaks down if you're a quarterback and you have to be able to move and avoid, protect the football. And ultimately, we would like you to do the best that you could to protect yourself, especially at that position. But there also is a responsibility that you have to try to, you know, help the team on the field and score a touchdown or convert on a third down.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday at St. Thomas Sports Park. Will Levis back on the practice field for the Tennessee Titans. He was a full participant yesterday, Joe, with the ankle injury. C.J. Stroud of the Texans also back on the practice field dealing with concussion protocol. He was limited yesterday at Houston Texans practice. So, there is a chance that we could see the Levis versus Stroud matchup on Sunday that we have been waiting to see at this point. You know, it's good news, obviously, for the Titans that Will Levis was back out there. Are you surprised that he is back out there and is a full participant as quickly as he is at this point? First meet of the day for Rex Road.
Gosh darn it. 6 o'clock hour, doesn't matter.
It's true.
Yes, I am, if I believe that it's high ankle sprain, which I don't, so I'm not. Okay. So, I mean, I saw the videos, and I'm like, okay, so he sprained his ankle last week. We need some medical people to intervene and talk to everybody about what a high ankle sprain is. Okay. Because it's a high ankle sprain for most of my life has meant basically you take a month and just forget about it. And so it's now, I guess it's like, it's an ankle sprain. It's a, you know, a centimeter up the leg. So it's a
we've advanced in medical science since 1950, Joe. They've got these little things now, like you seen those massage balls that they have that have, you know, machine power that you can relax the muscle with. There's all kinds of stuff you can do now.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, they don't like give lobotomies anymore like when I was a kid. Yeah. it's wild, but I like, they just need to stop using that term. But yeah, he looks good. Like when it first happened, and it's, you know, forget the all joking aside of the high ankle sprain. I mean, just look at, go back and look at the play.
Yeah.
I thought possibly serious knee injury. So, but watching him run around, I think he looks fine. I mean, look, I still would err on the side of caution if I were the Titans. But I will say things are trending toward much more interesting quarterback situations in these football games we got coming up than, you know, than it could have been. So if it's Levis Stroud, hey, that makes it a much more fun game Sunday.
Yeah, no question about that. And look, if Levis is, if he's healthy enough to move around and protect himself, I do think he should play. Like, I think there's value in him playing these last two games if he's able to do so, continuing to get snaps that are banked in, continuing to get some reps with guys on this offense, like a Treylon Burks, like a DeAndre Hopkins. And look, I realize that the offensive line's not going to magically get better and that he's going to get hit and that he's going to put himself at further risk being out there. But I do think there's value in these snaps and these games. And, you know, he kind of talked about that yesterday in terms of just trying to go out there and the value of winning a football game. I think that's important. I think that can be something that you can try to build on and carry a little momentum in into the offseason. Now, you know, look, I'm with you. I think they should be cautious. Like, it's not like the Titans don't have any information whatsoever to go on with Levis. We've seen a lot of good. We've seen some bad, but mostly I would say good for the most part. And it's good to see him back out there and feeling better and ready to go. Now, we'll see as the week goes along here, can he continue to remain out there as a full participant? Can he continue to make some progress before game day? Because look, last time they played Houston, first off, is when he sustained this injury, and second off, I mean, they got their butts kicked out there defense by the Texans defense, and yeah, you're hoping for a little bit of a better response if you're the Titans, but part of that is going to be Levis being able to protect himself and move around, and that to me is, if you're going to play him, you need to feel pretty confident that he can move around and protect himself back there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not... Yeah, I would imagine there are some Titans fans who are like, just, I've seen him, don't want him hurt. This offensive line is cheeks, so just forget about it. If he's whatever the percentage would be, I think that's that it's like, is he good enough that like he can actually elude a rusher here or there and run, right. You know, you certainly don't want him like to have like limited mobility. He said, you know, pain tolerance yesterday. I mean, hearing that term, I'm kind of like, yeah, you know, if there's really like a pain tolerance thing going on here, I'd probably sit him out, you know. But also, I have no doubt that probably tough to. I mean, I have no doubt that he would be pushing to play. Yeah, I think that's pretty clear too. So. You got to balance that, but again, the video looked pretty good. He looked better than him a few weeks ago when I don't even know if he was on the injury report. You know, before this particular injury. So, I'm against the idea that you just shut it down no matter what. No, I mean, if he's good, it's fine to play him. You got an entire offseason coming up. I mean, you can't be that fearful. But I would still err on the side of caution this week, as much as I'd like personally to see Stroud Levis.
I would love to know from Titans fans, like what have you, as you look at the overall body of work of what we've seen from Levis to this point, what have you thought? What have you liked? What have you not liked from Will Levis? I mean, there's been a lot of good, obviously the Atlanta game. I mean, he comes out there, throws four touchdown passes, has a quarterback rating of 130.5. And it looks great. And you're like, okay, well, statistically, it's going to be hard to top that one. And he's not topped that one ever since then. The Miami game, 327 yards passing, a touchdown, a couple late game drives to go win the game. Incredibly impressive stuff from Will Levis in that game. You know, even in that game, there were some moments that were not good with the interception, the pick six, the missed pitch to Derrick Henry. So, well, I mean, there have been times where he's looked like a rookie quarterback. Last time out against Houston, he made a throw to DeAndre Hopkins that, I mean, you just can't make. It's a bad throw on the sideline that gets picked off there. Missed Traylon Burks going to the end zone. So it's not like it's all been perfect here. I think most Titans fans, if they're being honest with themselves, pretty encouraged by what they've seen from Will Levis to this point. There has been some moments where it's like, ooh, I don't know about that throw, man. And we talked about maybe some interception luck that he's had as well. But overall, like the feeling I get from Titans fans is they're, I don't know if cautiously optimistic is the right word. I think they probably moved past that a little bit. I think they're extremely hopeful that they found their guy at quarterback, and it would be nice to see him a couple more times before the season closes out here.
Yeah, look, it's not perfect. It rarely is, but you consider the conditions, and I guess this is where some people might even go a step further than I would. I don't think like Tim Kelly is like a bad OC, so I don't think that that's a limitation. The offensive numbers are bad, but you know, the basically you have been going with, you got good backs, you got a great receiver, you got a terrible offensive line, and you don't have a lot else out there catching the ball. Now, as we talked about, Chig is going to come on, but given all those conditions and what he's done, I think Titans fans should be as optimistic as you could be at this point. You study quarterbacks in this league, and you can find just about any outcome, but you shouldn't feel like you know right now. I mean, ultimately, you're not going to know until, one, they put enough around them that this can be a winning team and an offense that scores more than 17 points a game, you know? Yeah. And then it's those big moments. But the fact that he did what he did in that game at Miami, it's a legit defense. I mean, I just watched that defense against Dallas last week. That's a legit D.
Yeah.
You know? And what he did, I think, you should absolutely be optimistic of your Titans fan, but it has to be cautious because there's just so many careers at quarterback in this league that look like a certain thing early and then don't progress or just don't quite get where you want them to get.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on Will Levis coming up next. What have you liked? What have you not liked about what you've seen from Will Levis to this point? We'll take your thoughts on all that. Make sure you tune in for Preds Pick to Click tomorrow on Robbie and Rex Road. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, you want a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with us tomorrow morning at 8:45. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans' Week 17 matchup against the Texans and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Live from our 1025, The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Will Levis back on the practice field yesterday as a full participant. Kyle Phillips back out there as a full participant as well, Joe. So your boy maybe out there, maybe playing, catching some passes again on Sunday. We'll see.
Well, I just like to point out before somebody in the text line attacks me, the TD is in my camp here too. Just saying the guy could maybe help a little bit. not putting him in Canton, just saying he might help.
We'll see if he gets on the field on Sunday and what that looks like. Andrew from Dover on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Who would be your top free agent to go after for the Titans this offseason? As things stand right now, Joe, my top free agent would probably be T. Higgins until he's locked up under contract. We've talked with Charles about that, and we can get, maybe back into that with Charles a little bit later today, about how he expects that Higgins is going to hit the market just based on some people that he's talked to. We'll see. A lot of people think that the Bengals won't let it get to that point, but right now, until that contract is resolved, Higgins would probably be my top guy. It is interesting. Like after the conversation we had yesterday, I started looking at some edge rushers that could be available, and they're, Yannick Ngakoue, obviously Autry's going to be out there. Calais Campbell at his age, Josh Allen from the Jags, your boy Jadeveon Clowney, he'll be out there and available. A lot of interesting names on the edge rusher front that are out there. Derek Barnett, who, by the way, has come into Houston and has looked pretty good with the Texans. A lot of interesting names on the edge rusher front.
Yeah, but it's a lot of, man, I feel like every year, half those guys you just mentioned are out there, and it's like, you know, I mean, obviously it's worked out great with the Ravens and Clowney, which is stunning to me. But
yes,
I don't know, Harbaugh, the non Mickey Mouse Harbaugh has a magic touch or something. I mean, you know, none of those guys to me are all that exciting. I'm with you. Yeah, I think Higgins is the clear answer there. Look, you'd love to have a young and cheap receiver as a key guy, and you'd love to be able to like draft a receiver. But yeah, it's just, if the needs are so many, and I don't trust offensive linemen in free agency pretty much. And, you know, I mean, it's not like that never happens, but I think you have to draft there. T. Higgins is a guy in his prime, huge price tag without question. But I think he's a special player, so I think he's the clear answer if he does get. And that's a really interesting discussion about him getting to the market or not too. I've kind of thought, yeah, that's they're not gonna let that happen. Like Josh Allen with the Jags, right?
Right.
I expect him to be back there. They'd be crazy to let him go, but who knows? I mean, maybe, like you said, Charles seems a lot more convinced that he would be out there. And I think, and it's also when you talk about free agency, I mean, I think some of the answer kind of may be dictated by, or at least shaped by, where you do end up in the pecking order of the draft. I mean, if the Titans lose both games and some things work out well for them, well, if that's, you know, one, they probably are in position to take one of the left tackles, you know, if,
yep.
But also, I mean, it is possible like Marvin Harrison Jr. could be there potentially. And then if that's the case, you know, so it's like, do you, I think you still would be in full pursuit of T. Higgins, you know, and then of course, whatever your signings are would then dictate the draft. But I think you would kind of look at the whole picture and maybe think of it a little bit differently based on where you end up in the order.
It's really interesting to me, and I know we're about to get into like draft talk in late December, but it's really interesting to me that like the position that they could be in terms of whether it's Harrison or whether it's Malik Nabers or like even Brock Bowers. Like if you're staring at a pick, Joe, that you feel like that player, whether it's a Bowers or a Neighbors or whoever, that they could be a great player and they could really help your quarterback. Like, what's the balance between that and knowing that if you're going to get one of those franchise left tackles, all likelihood is it's going to have to be in the draft because they just don't become available in free agency. Like you can go find a receiver in free agency or via trade. You can go find a corner in free agency, right? A tight end in free agency. Very rarely can you find a franchise level left tackle in free agency. So that's why, number one, I think it's extremely likely that that's what the pick is going to be, but it does present like an interesting decision that they could potentially have to make if they just love some of these other skill guys.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I mean, to me, it's like, I mean, we always talk about the two left tackles. That's the draft analyst community puts them on a different plane, but I mean, Titans may think one of them's way better than the other, or that, you know, the one that's a little bit lesser isn't that much better than like the next tier that analysts think. And then, you know what, the tackle, you know, left tackle five or whatever is, you know, that's, you could still go get him later. I mean, it's just, I mean, to me, if you're going to be that high, you cannot just be, again, Corey Davis is I think a great example of this. And you know, I think that's, even though that's not one of the picks that people I think would put at the top of like John Robinson mistakes, I think that was the case of you have a pick that high and you went need over, because I know that there was a lot of discussion just from the scouting staff of the Titans, like, Yeah, he's good. I like him, but at five, you know, and that's so. I mean, I think that's the thing. Like, if you tilt toward need, I think that's where you get in trouble. You get yourself a decent player that fills a need for the time being, but it's about getting great players. And it's funny how it works out, I think, so often, where it's like maybe a team looks like it has a surplus, you know, why would you pick that position? But it's like it ends up being, if you get a great player, that's what matters. Let's talk draft.
Yeah, the Titans took Corey Davis at five that year. And Jamal Adams was the pick right after him. Mike Williams from the Chargers after that. Christian McCaffrey, John Ross, which then ended up being quite the pick. Patrick Mahomes.
I thought he was going to be great, by the way.
Was at number 10. And he had Marshawn Lattimore at number 11. I mean, there are all kinds of players like around Corey Davis that's like, ugh. I don't know, Corey Davis at five could have worked out a little differently.
And there was, going back to the scouting, the Titans scouting staff, there was a heavy push for Jamal Adams. You know, and John Robinson went with Corey Davis. And they love Corey Davis. And everybody knew they loved Corey Davis. And he was, you know, again, he was hurt too. He couldn't even do anything at the combine. So perfect, you know, but, and I get it, you know, like Corey Davis was a great player in college and he was a good guy. And like, they were big on the locker room, all that stuff. But yeah. The couple of guys you mentioned there, not Mahomes though. I mean, people have to understand you were not doing that after the season Mariota had, the dude you had just drafted number two years earlier.
Cam on the text line says, if Marvin Harrison Jr. is there and the Titans pick and they don't pick him, the fan base will go unhinged. They probably will. But I think everybody at this point hopefully recognizes that there is a significant need for left tackle. I think the Titans fan base has figured that out. But a lot of people starving for Marvin.
Yeah, well, and again, I mean, that's where it's like, I want to know what your big board says. You know, it's Olu, Fashanu, or it's Marvin Harrison. Who do you think is a better player? I as badly as they need a left tackle, and they do. They need it. But if they're like, he's good, boy, he'd fill a need. We'd definitely be better at left tackle with him. And next year we would definitely be better off for having him. But this guy's going to Canton. Take the guy you think's going to Canton.
Exactly. Yeah. I think to me, that's what makes it really interesting. The other part of this, real quickly, Joe, that's fascinating to me to see how they're going to figure out, and it ties into free agency. Like, they're going to need another corner, at least one other corner, with Christian Fulton hitting the market. Like, is that going to be a position you address in free agency? Are you going to commit significant draft capital to it? I mean, I'm looking at corners that could be available. I mean, Adoree Jackson is going to be out there. That's not going to happen. Gilmore's scheduled to be a free agent. Kenny Moore from Indy. I mean, there's some okay names on this list, like Emmanuel Mosley from Detroit, but there's not like that super, superstar guy at corner that you can go throw a ton of money at.
Yeah. I mean, I think there will be a signing, you know. I think like Murphy Bunting would be fine if you can. I think, you know, that would be worthwhile. But yeah, who is your top outside corner? He can't be him, you know. No. And we know Fulton's going to be somewhere else. So who's your top outside corner? That's an interesting one. And that is an underrated kind of issue for this roster that has plenty of them.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles, yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Okay, but really fast, I just want to answer David in Arkansas. He says, will drafting a left tackle do any good when you don't have a good O-line coach? I'm all about the next franchise left tackle, but we need a true O-line coach. How do you know he's not a good low-line coach? I would say that if he had starting-level offensive linemen, he might look like a better offensive line coach, just saying.
Well, and if you're taking a guy that early in the draft, you think he's got that talent? Like, does his talent just deteriorate because he's got a bad coach? Let's say he does have a bad coach. Like, well, I forgot how to play football. My coach.
Yeah. Coach Holding. What do I do, Coach Holding? All right, now don't block that guy. Turtle. Drop to your knees. Turtle. It's
fun to see.
These coaches, it's amazing how much smarter and dumber they get based on the players they have. All right. Best thing in sports, Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. And I would just like to remind everyone, as I did yesterday, that I called for him to be the MVP a week ago. Now everybody's on the bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I picked the Niners to win that game, so I can't really say much. That was impressive. That is a complete football team, and he is the MVP to me. And look, I love the advanced stats. I really do. I think they're useful. They're helpful. EPA is there's different formulas for it, different sites, but it's a good thing. If you're going by EPA to make the case that Brock Purdy is a better choice than MVP Lamar Jackson, that's why watching football games is still the best thing to do. You know, defenses have a hell of a time with that guy. And of course, Munkin's offense has been a great change for him. And that team right now, I think that could be a Super Bowl rematch. I'm not sure I would pick it to end up different than it did. So kudos to them. My worst would be the Detroit Pistons. My goodness. First of all, they set the record. What is it? 27 in a row?
27.
28 in a row? It's 27 in a row. But also, as much as I like to rip on Detroit Lions ownership, you know, let me read a quote to you from Pistons owner Tom Gores, who seems like a dude who like used to hang out at Studio 54 a lot, and now he just like bought a basketball team.
Yeah.
Quote, "If you put aside winning, we've made a very big difference in the community," end quote.
That's good.
Yeah. That's what you're supposed to do, pal. Like, that's a requirement, okay, of the job. The idea that as you're being interviewed about the horrific performance of your team, and that's where you go, should say everything. It's kind of like the college football coach who's, you know, close to being fired and starts talking about his team's GPA. You know, like, I mean, it's good for them and good for those guys. Hopefully they do well in school and maximize the opportunity, but no one cares, dude. No one cares.
You put aside winning.
We've been awesome.
That's amazing. Nick Kieser, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
I don't know if you guys saw this last night or not. I saw this making my way downstairs to the Predators press conference, but Penguins defenseman Chris Letang had a 6-point night. No other NHL defenseman has done that. He had 5 assists actually in one period last night, setting an NHL record. Now, let me read this tweet to you from OptaStats. I've never heard of this until last night, but here's what they say. No other player in NHL history has had 6 assists in a span of less than 30 minutes in a game, let alone 20. The shortest span prior to last night's game was 30 minutes and 17 seconds by Wayne Gretzky in 1980. That is one hell of a stat, I tell you what.
That is. Big night for Letang last night.
Yeah, certainly was.
That's ridiculous.
And then my worst, and this is more of a stat, I saw this from actually John Glennon, just give credit where it's due. There's now a loss on this record. The Titans were undefeated when Derrick Henry threw a touchdown pass. They are now 8-1 in those games with the loss on Sunday. Hell of a 12-yard pass by him. I love when they give the ball to him, and he looks like a young Peyton Manning, as I think is what he says. So, but look, that sucks. But still a cool stat, 8-1 when he throws a touchdown pass. Doesn't get better than that, but they did lose on Sunday.
My best thing in sports, Nico starting for the Vols at quarterback. It makes the game infinitely more palatable to me. I gotta be honest with you. I was not very much looking forward to Tennessee and Iowa coming up at the Citrus Bowl, especially the lead-in game to the college football playoff. was like, geez, we're going to get a nice 14-11 final score one way or the other heading into the college football playoff. And we still very well might. Like, it very well might be just a terrible game. But at least from the Tennessee perspective, there's now a reason to watch basically the entire game. Like, even if things aren't going well, I think a lot of Vols fans are going to be hanging in for every snap to see what Nico does, how he responds. So thank God that he is starting at quarterback for the Vols against Iowa. It makes the game infinitely more palatable to me heading into New Year's Day.
Yeah, you know, that was almost my best. I'm way more excited. I was kind of questioning coming down here, but between that and the fact that my buddy Scott Docterman, who covers Iowa, saved some Pop-Tarts for me from the Pop-Tart Bowl, it's working out real. It's really going great now.
Yeah, really good decision by you. On the worst thing in sports front, we'll just pile on to Detroit sports because the Lions won the division this week, so good for them. So the Pistons have lost 27 in a row. Red Wings were playing really well, and then they brought in Patrick Kane, and he started to play hockey for them. And, by the way, he's looked pretty good individually, but they've lost 9 of 11 since he's come into the lineup. So Red Wings were in a playoff spot. Now they are in a deep hole, losing 9 of 11 with Kane coming in there. And by the way, they get a date with the Nashville Predators coming up tomorrow. So nice time for Detroit sports not named the Lions. Joe, I guess that means like if the Lions are going to actually have success and win the division, that nothing else is allowed to go right in the world of sports for that city.
Yeah, the Tigers are about to go 59-103.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if the Lions are going to be good, everything else must suck.
I think that's kind of the rule that we've seen to this point. But it's pretty wild. Like I thought when Kane came in that the Red Wings were going to take off. And like I said, like he's played pretty well, but they just – their goaltending's not very good, and they can't get a stop.
Yeah, and who knows? Who knows what kind of negative impact he could have on a group of people? I could see it.
Yeah, I could see it too. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into the Preds and the Hurricanes last night. An interesting game at Bridgestone Arena. Did not go well on the scoreboard side of things for the Preds. We'll get into that. What does it mean moving forward as they head into their back-to-back this weekend with the Red Wings and the Washington Capitals on the road? More on that coming up next. Derek McKenzie, Predators assistant coach, will join us at 7:15. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.